Joining me now, my second guest on today's show, he is the host of the Rude Dog Show at RudeDogShow.com. He is Rudy Reyes. Rudy, welcome to the Brandon Lowe Show, man.
Hey, man. What's going on? How are you?
I'm good, man. I know we've been trying to get you on, and it's just been crazy, so I apologize for that, but it's good to have you on now. Since you're out in California, let's talk about the two L.A. teams with championships. You have the Lakers, who won the NBA title, and then you have the Dodgers, who won the World Series for the first time in 32 years. L.A.'s got to be feeling pretty good about itself.
Well, it is, and if people can practice social distancing, I think it may feel a little bit better, literally, when it's all said and done. I know the Dodgers wanted to celebrate with the Lakers and vice versa, and it would be a perfect perfect combination. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen unless it's done with plexiglass. So, yeah, no, since 1989, it's been a long time. The last time we see this image of Kirk Gibson rounding the bases just kind of makes you wonder, when was that going to happen? You know, we've seen Dave Roberts go through mismanagement of players, including Clayton Kershaw, which kind of begged the question, is Dave Roberts the guy for the job due to player mismanagement? Of course, I had my questions and my doubts. And then, of course, the Los Angeles Lakers, who were bubble eyes, as I'd like to call them, find themselves in Orlando beating out the Heat in a game six in perfect fashion. I happened to call that game to say they were going to do it in 16. So, yeah, Los Angeles feeling pretty good. Laker fans, Dodger fans, sometimes they're one and the same.
Yeah.
So we'll see we'll see what happens as the NBA's headed into somewhat a tumultuous offseason with games scheduled to start in December. So that's going to be quite interesting to see that unfold.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. You know, it's kind of interesting when you have you restart the year, and then, you know, obviously the NBA title or the championship game or the series, I should say, is usually done by Father's Day at the latest. That's usually when it's cut off, and then, you know, you have the off season, and guys are trying to take some time to be with their families, and you have the victory parade, and of course you have none of that stuff. And then now you got to turn around, and you're trying to get the season back on schedule like, you know, a regular year. But, I mean, I know LeBron's been vocal about it. I know there's been a lot of players vocal about this quick turnaround. I don't know how this is even going to work, to be honest. Is this something where they could hold out? Like, could players actually hold out on the season?
Well, the NBA is certainly letting people know that, look, you know, this is a billion-dollar loss on theirs, right? Because they had spent all that money going to Orlando, moving all these players, all these teams, some of their family, you know, and they're all going to one place, and that's in Orlando. I was talking to Kendrick Perkins last week, former NBA Celtic champ, and we were talking about Rajon Rondo and if the season's going to start and if it's going to be that way. Are players going to hold out? Are they going to transfer? Are they just going to call it a day and just not play? There's so much in the air right now when you talk about the regular NBA season. And the bigger question is, what will that look like? I mean, 2020's been anything but normal. Will 2021 see a little bit more normality? I guess we'll... Only time and vaccinations will tell, but I think that players may find themselves in an opt-out situation if that is possible. Now, don't forget, during the regular season, as it were bubbled in Orlando, players had the option to opt out. They wouldn't acquire the same type of financial pocketeering, as it were, being able to play half the season versus a whole season. So they only got paid a quarter of what they otherwise would have been paid had they have, you know, went through the entire bubble season, including the regular season. So we're going to find out what that looks like next year.
Back to the Dodgers. That was speaking of COVID, it was an interesting turn of events and in that game, because you had Justin Turner test positive for COVID-19, and they just replaced him. Nobody really knew what was going on until after the game. He tweets that he's not going to be able to celebrate with his team, and then he's down on the field minutes after that tweet, and he's holding the trophy, and it's just a very weird and almost bad look for baseball.
Well, it's definitely an ominous look, for sure. I mean, he certainly walked out of the dugout. He was asked not to go out. He had tested positive for COVID. You've seen him holding that kind of trophy and then kissing his wife on top of it. And, of course, they had to fly on a separate plane back to Los Angeles and not with the team. So it's almost as if they were flying quarantined, more or less. It definitely begs the question as to whether or not, when you look at the job Rob Manfred had done you know, you really have to ask yourself, is he really the guy for the job? Is he going to be the vocal leader? He didn't look very comfortable talking on a mic during the Dodgers winning World Series, but it's just one of those questions you're going to have to ask, is whether or not the Dodgers themselves can get away from this cloud that's going to hang over them for some time heading into the following season. And again, what will that season look like for Major League Baseball? Does Rob Manfred turn into the NBA from a bubble standpoint? Do teams go into bubbles? You know, there's so many things right now that are up in the air, and we don't really know what that's going to look like.
Just join us here on the Brandon Lowe Show. We've got Rudy Reyes. He is the host of the Rude Dog Show. As you mentioned, you talked to Kendrick Perkins, which I sent you a message and said, man, that's a great get and a great conversation. Enjoyed that a lot. And as we said, you know, the NBA, every sport is under this weird type of year. But, you know, you look at football, there's been a lot of parity. And if anything, if there's any positivity out of this thing, I feel like this has been one of the better years in NFL. There's been a lot of really good storylines, a lot of really good matchups. This weekend was but, you know, for the most part, it's been a really good season as far as the NFL is concerned.
You know, I would have to agree with you, and there's a lot of reasons behind that. Some players were tested positive, some in camp tested positive, and to be honest with you, I think ultimately this will work itself throughout the National Football League. You're going to see a lot of players who end up testing positive. They're capturing it right off the bat, so they're doing the testing, they're going through the analytical stages. You can't have contact with other people. They're virtual sessions, training room sessions, things of that nature. So just because you've been nailed, and of course, hot off the wire, Marlon Humphrey announces that he acquired COVID, which really questions yesterday's game against the Steelers, who are 7-0, as to whether or not he transferred that COVID to someone else or if he acquired afterwards. So certainly a lot of news in regards to that. But as far as pairings and teams playing in the NFL, at least this week, you had a lot of pretty decent matchups. I mean, you had the Bengals, who took out the Titans 5-2 after coming off a loss from Pittsburgh, and then the Bills took care of the Patriots 24-21. Raiders seemed to get a win against the Browns. They're, you know, like two all-time going to Paul Brown Stadium to beat Cleveland. So the Colts walked away against the Lions 41-21, and then the Steelers, obviously, you know, with a fine-tuned non-turnover day with Ben Roethlisberger not throwing the three interceptions he had thrown in Nashville against Tennessee, which really didn't pay off for much of anything because of the defense. So I think overall, as far as testing is concerned, what that looks like is about 25% capacity. I had Dan Helly on from NFL Network, and we were talking about what that would look like, how that would appear, what would be the capacity, how would people be sitting, are they being staged, and all those nuances. He was close. He was about 12% off. And I said, well, probably about 20-25%. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And that's where we're at right now.
There's been multiple storylines as well. Of course, Tom Brady going to Tampa for New England. We know New England is obviously a different team. We saw that yesterday. Cam Newton fumbles away a game. They're in Buffalo. Buffalo gets a victory of the Patriots there the first time at their place since 2011, I believe, was what the year they put out there. It's just an interesting dynamic. You know, the storyline was, well, does Tom need Belichick? Does Belichick need Tom? And we know NFL coach and quarterback need each other. You need a quarterback. And right now, Belichick is lacking a quarterback.
Well, not only is he lacking a quarterback, but a quarterback that seems to, I mean, and don't forget, they've had a lot of guys essentially just opt out. Again, another opt-out situation for players just who do not want to play, and essentially that's exactly what's happening. And does Bill Belichick need Tom Brady more than Tom Brady needs Bill Belichick, to be quite honest with you? Because right now there's so many different situations between Stidham, who looks average, Cam Newton, who is, well, Cam Newton, indecisive throws, just a lot of it's just really ugly in New England right now. And to be quite honest with you, this is something that they're not accustomed to. They're not something that they're used to, is losing and being in the losing column. I had picked the Bills to win the AFC East, and they're on their way with that win yesterday. So we'll see what happens. Definitely a lot of questions in regards to what New England does in the offseason. Do they draft a quarterback? Do they go high? Do they put some bargaining chips on the table in order to acquire one of the solid backups. Of course, backups don't go on trees, as most people should be aware of, and if not, they know now.
yeah, for sure. And, you know, of course, Trevor Lawrence, one of those guys that everybody's wanting, and he's battling COVID right now in Clemson. But, you know, a lot of people said that the Jets would obviously grab him, barring if the Jets start winning. You know, and Trevor obviously has a chance to go back with Clemson and not go into the draft. But I made the joke. It's like, what's going to be the difference to prior year? I mean, I know some things can happen where, you know, you bargain some stuff. And I know there's been some chatter about Darnold being shopped out. And but I just what's the difference if the Jets don't? What are they going to do next year? You know, it's like Trevor Lawrence is probably going to be stuck with either the Jets or if somebody bargains and makes some things happen to not land on the Jets.
Well, to be quite honest with you, if I was Trevor Lawrence, I wouldn't want to be in the Jets either. And to be quite frank, when you look at Sam Darnold and you look at his situation with the Jets, and I had interviewed Sam Darnold when he was drafted by the Jets, and I thought to myself, man, you got your work cut out for you. You know, you have to learn how to scramble. You're not a scrambling quarterback. They don't have great protection up front. And then, of course, hot off the wire, Avery Williamson was traded to the Steelers. In order to kind of help solidify their defense with that rotation, because depth's important, and I think that could be certainly something that the Steelers could really look out for as part of that rotation to just apply different looks defensively. But yeah, I mean, overall, when you look at the Jets, 0-7, I mean, do the Steelers lose a game before the Jets win one? No. The Steelers will lose one, and the Jets will still not win one. So, that's that.
A guy I was really on and I really love is Russell Wilson there with the Seahawks. And, you know, obviously the reason why he's not going to wow you with a bunch of stats, but what it is he's a winner. He knows how to manage the game like anybody else. He makes the right throws. He makes it look effortless. And he's a guy, I think, out of any of these guys we're talking about at the quarterback position outside of a Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers at times, I think Russell Wilson is that guy right now. Now even that if they got into postseason play, man, I'd have a lot of confidence in the Seahawks, especially in the NFC right now, of making the Super Bowl. I really like the Seahawks. I know we're high up on the Packers right now. I know Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball around. I know Tampa is starting to get in their own, but there's just something always about Pete Carroll and those Seahawks and Russell Wilson and how he manages games and how he sneaks out games. You know, and you need that in the playoffs.
Yeah, you definitely do. When I mean, you may as well just hand over this MVP trophy to him, because he's just making a mockery of a lot of different teams. Now, on the other side of the ball, you're talking defensively. Where does the defense rank? Well, they didn't enter this local game very, very, very high on the defense because they're giving up so many yards and chunk plays. Coverage hasn't been good in the secondary. It just makes you wonder, did they clean it up yesterday? I thought they cleaned it up relatively well. They were stopped the short passes. They're protecting the chains. They're preventing really deep throws. And I think that the defense definitely helped out Russell Wilson in regards to field positioning throughout the game. So again, it's one of those big questions you have to ask yourself, is the Seahawks defense legitimate? That I don't know. We're still finding out exactly who that defense really is. I think they're finding out who that defense is.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I was comparing the AFC, NFC to Western Conference, Eastern Conference when it comes to NFL, NBA. Because when you look at the AFC, you know, the Western Conference in basketball, the NBA, you know, it's been a challenge. I mean, obviously it was a different year. This year, Golden State was battling some stuff, and he had COVID, and it was a bubble and all that stuff. But when you look at the AFC, I mean, there's just so many teams that jump out to you, and especially some wild card teams that can make some noise. Who do you like in AFC?
You know, I look at the Broncos, and as bad as they've looked throughout different segments and parts of this season, between not having Andrew Locke and then not Andrew Locke, but Drew Locke, and then they did have Drew Locke, and then they didn't have Drew Locke, and then, you know, it's just been this big, big Fangio show. And of course, right now Broncos are 3-4; they're 1-3 at home, but it's basically anybody's game still. In at least in the West, of course, Chargers lose another heartbreaker against the Broncos. Justin Herbert just can't catch a break. He wins one game, loses the next, and then And then in turn, it's just a question whether or not they can actually stay consistent and be consistent offensively as well as defensively. So I'm going to have to take the Broncos in my favorite pick. And then Tua Tagovailoa started yesterday against the Miami Dolphins, a lefty, one of few lefties in the NFL to actually start. And in turn, he did pretty good. His numbers weren't all that great, but he did make some pretty smart throws against the Rams team, who came into this at 5-2, looking to get a W on the road. Didn't happen. Dolphins took care of business. Tua took care of business, and I think this is basically Tua's job to lose, considering they dissed Fitzpatrick to put Tua under center. And then last but not least, as far as the AFC is concerned, I was shocked about the Colts, to be honest with you. They picked up Philip Rivers, who was waived by Los Angeles Chargers, and now he's coming over and kind of making some noise within this Colts offensive system. So it really kind of begs the question as to whether or not does Philip Rivers show up who he really is in the regular season, as we've seen him play in Los Angeles for so many years. That's the big question. But right now the Colts are 5-2, so in the AFC South, that's a pretty big deal when they're 500 away from home. So we'll see. But and those are my sleepers. I take nothing away from the Raiders, but they're so inconsistent on both sides of the ball. And then they lose Trent Brown on the offensive side. So that's probably about it as far as the AFC is concerned.
Yeah. Also, just a quick note on that. You mentioned the Dolphins game. It's crazy if you look at that from just a stat standpoint. If I showed you that without the score, if I showed you the paper of the stats, you would say, without a doubt, the Rams won that game. Because if you look at plays, I think they had 92 plays or something, and the Dolphins had half yards. But it was big-time plays on special teams and defense for the Dolphins that really allowed them to win that game. But I'm with you. Tua, you know, he did some things that I think the coaching staff there is going to like.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And when you look at what Tua has went through throughout his medical, you know, when leaving college, headed in the NFL, he had a hip surgery, things of that nature. And to be quite honest with you, I wasn't expecting the switch, but we know that Fitzpatrick has turned into Fitz Tragic in just one throw. And that includes interceptions. And that includes just being indecisive, trying to do too much too often. And yesterday, Steelers-Ravens, you thought the Ravens were going to walk away with this. They had so many yards after the catch. They were really attacking the middle of the field against the Steelers. Somehow they made those corrections in the second half. Steelers just did not have any production in the first to go on to basically win to stay perfect. With the only unbeaten team in the NFL currently would be the Steelers. So certainly something to look out for.
Rudy, appreciate your time. Tell the folks where they can check out your show and, of course, follow you on social media.
Sure, I appreciate that. You can go to therootdogshow.com, follow me at RootDogReyes. I definitely like to talk sports there, and I'll tweet throughout games, obviously, tonight with Monday Night Football and such. So I'm definitely available in regards to that. But I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much. I'm glad we were able to connect.
Yeah, thank you, Rudy. I appreciate you, man, and we'll have you back on soon.
Sounds good. Take care.